Welcome to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Dr. Owen Strand, and I'll be your host. Join us each week as we engage the city of man with the biblical wisdom of the city of God. Art must be truthful in what it says about the world and our sojourn in it. Lying down in green pastures is a great goal for an artist, but he must not attempt to get there without walking through the valley of the shadow of death. If he does, he is a liar. So says Ben Myers in a recent piece for First Things magazine entitled "The Sentimentality Trap." Myers is a professor at Oklahoma Baptist University and has written a very compelling essay on how evangelicals approach art and how frequently evangelicals who do engage art fall into what he calls the sentimentality trap and end up making art that looks appealing, but if I could summarize, does not convey the depth of meaning and even feeling of the human experience that goes into the best and the truest art. In reading Ben Myers' First Things piece, I was reminded of Roger Scruton's essay called "Faking It," in which he talks about a similar theme. He's not approaching the question of art and how one makes art from exactly the same perspective that Myers is, but he says this about tragedy in its connection to beauty. I think there's overlap with what Myers is after in his First Things piece. Here's Scruton. "Tragedy reminds us that beauty is a redemptive presence in our lives. It is the face of love shining in the midst of desolation. We should not be surprised that many of the most beautiful works of modern art have emerged in reaction to hatred and cruelty. The poems of Akhmatova, the writings of Pasternak, the music of Shostakovich, such works shone a light in the totalitarian darkness and showed love in the midst of destruction." Real art, Scruton concludes, is a work of love. Fake art is a work of deception. In these two essays by gifted thinkers, I'm driven to think about just how it is that Christians should engage the arts in a 21st century context. This is a conversation that many evangelicals are familiar with in our time. Every time there is a new movie that purports to be, you know, a Christian tale of redemption or something, there's a lively conversation that takes place, in particular on social media and on blogs, over whether this is going to be yet another exercised in a good message but failed art. To put it bluntly, a good number of young evangelicals, at least, are dissatisfied with evangelical art making, and they hunger for a more authentic, less sentimental approach to the arts. And that includes a wide range of pursuits, whether it's painting, film, poetry, storytelling, and so on. Christians, in fact, have tremendous reason to engage in the arts and to create beautiful works of art. We recognize fundamentally that the Bible teaches in Genesis 1 that God is the creator. And Genesis 1 and 2 are beautiful chapters of Scripture and very much move the heart even as they inform the mind. But we need to remember that we actually are getting a true picture of the origins of humanity. God is not simply writing a tone poem in penning Genesis 1 and 2 through Moses. God is giving us an account of human origins. And in so doing, he is showing us fundamentally, right off the bat in Scripture, that he is the creator. We're used to that term. We're accustomed as evangelicals to hearing preaching about creation. We're well acquainted with debates over the age of the earth. But we don't always think about and make good on the reality that God is creator and God creates out of the overflow of his infinitude. Think about what a foundation for creativity this doctrinal point is. God decides out of the freeness, the freedom of his will to make a world that is created to display his glory, to put his attributes on display. He decides to make mankind as the crown of his creation on day six of creation. And he desires very clearly fellowship and communion with mankind. Mankind is, of course, his image his likeness, Genesis 1:26 and 27. And so it's clear from the early chapters of the Bible that the Lord is a creative God. He's a God who desires to make works of beauty, to put them on display. What a foundation that is for evangelical art making, for evangelical cultural creation. We, in fact, of all people, have the most reason to create. We desire to foment creativity, to encourage it, in other words, and not to stamp it out. Now, of course, we're a people who are ruled by God. We're a people who are normed by the Holy Scripture. And so we don't create as some say they create, you know, with no worldview in place, with no guidelines in action. We recognize that we have a God to obey and to worship, to savor. But listen, that doesn't at all extinguish human creativity. That shouldn't be a barrier among Christians to artistic expression. We, in fact, should be a movement that teems with creativity, that pulses with joy in the arts. Sometimes when you talk this way among evangelicals, people can look like at you like you are, you know, attempting to levitate off the ground, like you're saying really strange things. Here I have an experiment for you. Go up to a group of guys talking after church at your local church and share with them right off the bat, out of the blue, how much you've been enjoying a symphony. Tell them that. See how that goes over. See if that sparks a half an hour conversation on whether Mozart or Bach is a better composer. You know, I'm joking. I love talking about sports just like any other young American man. But here's the deal. I recognize as well that just as I can enjoy the good gift of sports, I can enjoy the good gift of art. Evangelicals, as I say, have tremendous doctrinal, theological reasons to pursue creativity and to engage in the arts. But let's be honest as well. We haven't always done art well. In particular, you look at evangelical culture of the last 100 years or so, and yes, there are some great works of art, but there are many that are not. And so we can be honest about that. We can acknowledge that we need to do better. If you're interested in cinema, if you want to be a filmmaker, you really should study great films before you embark on your own attempt. If you want to be a painter, you should recognize that there are great painters out there who are not Christian, and you should at least learn from them. If you want to do poetry, you should read widely in the poetic field, and you should adapt accordingly. It doesn't mean that we should mimic those who are outside of the Christian church in our attempt at art making. It does mean that we should learn. We should be humble even as we approach the arts. Fundamentally, we have profound reason to support and engage the arts. We don't want to make merely sentimental pieces that give us a little emotional boost but do not speak to the deepest things of life. Ideally, we as a movement would create and engage art that speaks to the deepest realities of the human condition and human existence. We would create art that speaks to the miracle of creation, the tragedy of the fall, the beauty of redemption, redemption in the name of Jesus Christ, and the cataclysmic power and wonder of the new heavens and the new earth, the return of Christ, the restoration of all things. Instead of the sentimentality trap, perhaps evangelicals in coming days can be known for something different. Instead of descending into the mire alongside fellow men and women in this culture, which is losing sight so quickly of any standard of beauty and excellence, perhaps in our time, evangelicals can be known for the ascent of the soul, for the pursuit of that which is highest and best and beautiful. Thanks for listening to City of God, a podcast at the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We're so thankful you stopped by. We encourage you to continue to join the conversation at cpt.mbts.edu, the official website of the center. And we encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Join us in coming days as we continue the conversation on what it means to be the city of God in the city of man.